Like a herd of cattle, their skinny silhouettes with colourful gear get lured towards the line. You know, bib numbers separate those that signed up and those that regret they didn't. All centres of private space is lost. The rubbing of shoulders has begun. Strange body odours, unknown nervous voices, along with the signal tones of smart watches, leaves no doubt. It is the start. This is it. You are in. No way out. But first, the intro.
Welcome to Hypno Running, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. Yes, Heiko is my name, and here we talk about all matters pertaining to you as a runner and your mental attitude, your mindset, because that, my dear listeners, and not those fancy running shoes, determine whether you excel at your hobby and get the best out of the time invested, or just remain a mediocre, half-hearted type of runner. Whew. Now, honestly, who wants to be half-hearted, mediocre type of runner? Exactly, no one. If you are a regular listener, thank you very much. You already know this. No ads, quick, insightful, useful, 15 to 20 minutes coming your way. Not a single ad. Yes, I do offer you to get in touch with me if you want mental coaching designed to get your blockade or mental barriers reset in terms of your running. And yes, I might offer you to get one of my books if you enjoy this topic of mindset for runners and practical tools and you want to get more info. Not just info, but really also steps that you can take to become a better, stronger and a smarter runner. So that's what this is all is about. All things running. And yes, I record this on one go, usually sitting inside my 30-year-old car, straight into the iPhone, with the whole focus being on the message and the tools. I'm not interested in the prize for best audio. I just want to get the message of brain training for runners and the importance thereof out there. It's because I'm passionate about the topic and I've been for over 30 years. Keen runner, yes, I run every day, and yes, I don't care if it's a 5K or an ultra. If I casually bump or stumble onto an event, I will sign up and participate. How this all started, ideally, you should go back and listen to the previous episodes of the podcast. But just in short, I reached the conclusion that I didn't train half as much as some of the other runners, and I still got good results. And I realized it had a lot to do with the mental tools and the models that I use. And that's what I started specializing in. I specialized in this. I got a teaching methodology in Germany registered. So it's psychologically proven tools to help you become a better runner. And yes, of course, I'm also a certified run trainer. But hey, don't ask me for training plans. I prefer to help those that really struggle with the motivation. And it can be that marathon runner or a runner wants to get back into it, but struggles. And that's where I come in. That's where I help runners really unleash their potential. Perhaps you could share the show and you know with someone who you feel could do with a bit of reflection on his or her mindset. Please do share. Now, back to the scenario of the race. That day, that moment in time where you're lining up on the start line. Many people, hey, perhaps it's 5,000 people, perhaps you're in one of the big races, 22,000 people, maybe in a small run, even 200 people can feel crowded. Now, actually, it's surprising how many runners find this moment in time stressful. And maybe for some of you, it already starts earlier, you know, the evening before. Perhaps the drive there, you know, somebody cut you off in traffic, the parking spot you wanted under the tree so you could return to a cool car that was parked in the shade. Now it's gone. Maybe all those things are already stressing you. And then the long walk to the start line, your shoes suddenly feel a bit funny, the new magnetic bib holders, you know, they don't seem to be working out. Oh, you might have lost one of the clips already. And then as you approach the start area, well, that's another story altogether, isn't it? Sometimes, hey, I also feel like everyone else is looking fitter, leaner, and meaner than I currently feel. And that most of the people around me are giving off the appearance of being competitors for first place. Now, obviously not. Hey, if you can relate to any of those feelings, you know what? You're not alone. And according to some statistic, by Runner's World, over half the runners, they feel anxiety before a race. Now, there's a difference between stress from driving, parking, working, and walking, and losing your magnetic bib holder, and getting worked up on your way to the start line, because you know this. The being herded into the start area is just the beginning, is it not? You're going to get squeezed together. You might even be pushed into a different starting group, and suddenly you find yourself in D, but your bib states E. Oh, no. Or the 330 pacer you want to follow is far ahead of you. You're going to have to catch him up. How are you going to start catching him up? There's so many people between you and that pacer. And suddenly it starts. You know, your heart rate monitor is measuring the beats, and you know, that would be fine if you're chasing up a hill, but you're not. You're just still standing at the starting area. You haven't even moved. Yes, Heiko, stop. Stop right there. That's why I don't take part in races. Exactly for those moments. Wow. Hey, if you hate it, if this makes you feel awful, if this is you, we need to talk. Drop me a personal message, because it's not awful. It is your perception thereof which might benefit from a different viewpoint. There are actually two types of anxieties in that moment of time. There's the cognitive anxiety that involves negative concerns about your race performance, or the somatic anxiety, which involves perception of automatic arousal, let's say in your mind, and that will grow into, you know, into CT, catastrophe theory, which basically says that, and this is my summary, so please excuse me, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. When the psychological arousal is high, the increased cognitive anxiety will impair your actual performance. And the thing is that the more you as a runner can rely on your autonomous state of mind, where you're running in a relaxed state of mind, wow, the pace will be most likely that what you've trained for. I see this again and again. The more relaxed the runner, the more your pace is going to be spot on that what you train for. It'll be an unconscious process and will ensure smooth performance. I want to say easy, as it might make me sound arrogant. Well, there's this guy with this podcast. He says running is easy, you know, but it's not. But actually, easy is the right word. An easy marathon to run. You trained for it. You knew what to expect. And you hit the numbers as expected. Of course, it wasn't easy as in sense of, you know, no sweat, but still it wasn't a fight every single step of the way. It doesn't make for a good story, and people might think you've gone completely overboard, but that's how it was. It was an easy run. Just listening to the podcast and not doing anything is not going to lead to a great result. Sharing it or sending me a high five, hey, great Heiko, you know, thanks for that, I appreciate that, but again, just listening to it, it's not going to help you improve. It won't change a single thing except make you feel inspired to do something about it. But by the time you get back home, look at your calendar or sit at your desk, and there's the entry for the marathon, the positivity might have gone away. The enthusiasm you had whilst listening to the show might have evaporated. So here's what the pros recommend. Pen and paper. No, not, but I always take notes or speak notes onto my phone. See, it's just not the same. To regular listeners, you know this. By writing something in pen and paper, you are more associated with the content, and this time you need two sides of the actual page you're writing on. Now, can you imagine how long that'll take you out to figure that, how to do that on your phone? Chances are you'll be recommended a video by YouTube. Others like you enjoyed watching this as well, and you're no longer into this topic at all. So just grab a sheet of paper, two columns, just one line in the middle. You've got two columns on the left. Note down your absolute turnoff for entering that start line. For me, it's clearly the smell of so many runners whose personal hygiene has already failed them 3 days back, and now they're going for a run, and why bother showering, because they might just do it, you know what I mean? Okay, so what is your favorite turn off about that start line? Those things that really trigger you, that rattle your cage. Words are enough, no need for elaborated sentences. Then, in the second column, you write the positives of finishing the race, the sensation of crossing the finish line, of having done it. And this is irrespective of the distance. Doesn't matter. You just did it. You just crossed the line. What comes to mind? Now, I'm pretty sure that what comes to mind is going to be very powerful. It might be pride. It might be satisfaction. It might be disbelief. Oh, I can't believe I did it. It might be jubilation. I finish in a great time. Wow. Perhaps you even have that metallic taste in your mouth because you ran all out. And you feel your wet hair and you feel your t-shirt is completely soaked and you feel your feet are hurting. How did you run with that pain in your feet? What comes to mind? Write it down. And what this does is it starts creating a new picture in your mind's eye, a more powerful one, where you actually start to understand that your vision is not global, but rather it's like a spotlight. That this focused point of you will always give or show you more of what exactly that you saw. So the more you focus on that finish line moment, the more positive, powerful thoughts are going to develop out of that. You might need to take some time to dwell on it, to let the right-hand column really sink in. I mean, you already have your fixed opinion of the words on the left column. So yes, this might not be so easy, but that's why you need to dwell and realize that those words you wrote are true as well. They have a place in your mindset, in your view of the world. They might not feel like it is true yet, but they will become so. They are legit. And what you're doing is you're slowly experiencing a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift, you know, like remember those, you remember the Reader's Digest? And then you, usually somebody would bring one to school, you know, and somebody would show a pencil sketch. Not a clear sort of a sketch. And then you read the words below and you realize there was a second object or face or situation going on in the sketch and you never realized it. You know, and usually one friend who took forever to finally see it and you were like, here, look at it, it's right there. Oh, no, sorry, wait, let me see. And oh my goodness, don't be that person. Huh? A physical and psychological fatigue might be a reason that contributes to performance anxiety. As time goes on, you know, the physical and psychological fatigue, it builds up and change your ability to perceive and distinguish between what we can do and what we think we can do. So the idea of accomplishing a task that we feel we're not capable of, to really finish this marathon in a great time and being in the start line, it makes us feel anxious, whether we have the necessary resources available or not. So in this respect, we might have to commit ourselves to accomplish a certain practice target or a specific competition goal. You might have to go to more races than you think, shorter ones, to get over the start line situation you have. And what's going to happen is the accumulative fatigue, if you don't do this, it makes us perceive that we don't have the resources, we're not good enough to actually do the race, we're going to find reasons, and this performance anxiety is going to settle in, and we lose sight of what we're actually capable to run, what distances we're actually capable to do, what best times we can actually get. Performance anxiety, it influences your self-confidence. And the more you believe that you can't accomplish a certain task, the more anxious you're going to become. The more you worry, the more you believe that you don't have the necessary skills, talent to accomplish this race distance, this race time. The constant negative impact. What's going to happen with your self-confidence? It's fatigue. Therefore, the more anxious you become about your performance, the more your resources are like drained and your body gets tired. And most probably, you're going to get injured. Therefore, knowing how to identify your thought systems, that's something incredibly important. The more effective you are with this, and this requires time, and in certain situations, unfortunately, you know, anxiety is already present and it's affecting, you know, what steps you're going to take next. Are you going to catch up to that 3:30 pace setter? Or are you going to just like, well, this is, I'm not even going to try to run my pace that I can run. Let me give you a couple of really powerful tips that you can do to manage such a dilemma. Try to, if you suffer from this, if you have this anxiety, try to run in a more pleasant environment. Running in the city, I can tell you a couple of weeks back, I ran in Los Angeles and, wow, the stress of the city, the pulse, the beat, the cars and everything. My times were great, actually, because I ran faster, but it was like a car might be popping out of the next driveway, or there's the traffic light, which is going from green to red. You're halfway there. There was a lot of stress there. And nature here in Germany, where I live, it has such a powerful and soothing effect. Use that. Use nature's effect on calming mindset. Next thing is number two, pay attention to how you feel whilst you're running. So what's going to happen is it's going to help you optimize positive feelings. If you're feeling good all of a sudden, hey, build up on that and let go of any negative thoughts that might occur. Third point, listen to the way you breathe. Breathing, very calming power for your neurovegetative system, your brain. Breathing in a calm and steady manner, even whilst you're running, it's going to really help you reduce negative thoughts, and it's going to help you with that anxiety as well. Now, if you found any of this interesting and would like to have some more tools, some more information, there are many books on this topic. And in my experience, listen, I've been deep diving into this topic since years back. I did a lot of training and I had to read those difficult but excellent textbooks. And maybe it's just me, but the references to all the studies done, the comparing of various studies, it distracted me from finding answers to the questions I had, as there was never a fluid reading taking place. And that's why I have a choice for you. Basically, two quick and easy to read books written by me that'll give you hand-on tools to become a mentally better runner, helping you become a better, a stronger, and a smarter runner. It means a practical hands-on advice that you can go out, you can get the book on Amazon, read it, and do it. And they will have a major effect on improving your running. Now, I said two because, well, the one is called Brain Training for Runners. And here, please note in the Amazon search bar, be sure to enter my name as well as the book's title, Heiko, Brain Training for Runners. If you just enter Brain Training for Runners, you'll be presented with an undoubtedly great book. It really is great. That goes way into detail. But it's written by someone else and it's over 600 pages. At that, you're going to read 600 pages. So, Heiko or Heiko Strubel, Brain Training for Runners, that's the one you want for those processes to get into a different state of mind as a runner. Buy it as a paperback, you'll be glad you did. The second one, this I recommend if you're struggling with one of two things. If you want to be a no excuses runner, if you want to go for that personal run streak, but somehow fail to even, you know, get to the start, or if you want to overcome those excuses to finally go for a run, if you want to become that runner, hey, choice is yours. You can keep on following those runners in admiration on Strava and Instagram and giving them likes and words of encouragement. But you know what? Those runners, which you admire, they don't need your encouragement. They already have it figured out. They, like me, we are doing it. I don't need a smiley emoji. I don't need a power fist. It doesn't affect my run performance at all. Trust me on this one. I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter to me whether you think my running is crazy, too much, I might get injured, too many miles. Hey, if you want the mindset of a no excuses runner, that book is for you. Catchy title too, so it's not for everyone. 365 Days of Running. Your guide to a 365-day run streak. Who wouldn't want that? A full year of running to look back to. Can you imagine how you will feel if you have that under your belt, the confidence? You're gonna have anxiety about what? I mean, seriously, what's going to stop you now? What's going to seem impossible if you have managed to build such a powerful routine? You've maintained that level of discipline through the seasons, through difficult times, through holiday periods, through extremely busy times at work, at home, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, forgotten anniversaries. And you've overcome many, many excuses not to run. Well done, you. Let me finish with such a powerful verse from the Bible. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Need I say more? Come on, let anxiety go, get some more tools, and become a no excuses runner. My name is Heiko. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.